This is New York City's Department of Housing Preservation and Development's podcast series.
My name is Pam Glazer of the HPD Division of Public Outreach and Education, and I welcome you to HPD's podcast series. Today's podcast is on easy, no, and low-cost ways to save energy and money in your apartment, home, or building. Whether you are a tenant or own a small home or a large building, simple energy efficiency changes, such as switching to efficient light bulbs or turning on the sleep or energy management feature on your computer, will save you money. If you are a renter, you might think you are only concerned with keeping your electric bill affordable, if that is the only energy bill you see, and you will indeed learn electricity saving tips here. But as you listen to the podcast, you will learn that other actions, such as caulking around drafty windows or attaching a weather strip to the bottom of a door, can keep you warm and healthier by keeping out cold air and fumes from the street. With me today is Tom Cavallo, Supervisor of Mechanical Engineering in HPD's Division of Architecture and Construction Engineering. Tom, can you talk to us about first steps in reducing our energy bills? Everyone talks about fluorescent lights. Do they make a big difference?
Actually, they do very much so. Incandescent lights are basically being phased out of production, and some European countries have actually banned them from production. Compact fluorescents are really the way to go now. CFLs is a common term for them. They use about 75% less energy, last about 10 times longer, and are much cooler to the touch than incandescent lights. As incandescents burn out from my house, I always replace them with CFLs. I don't even bother using incandescents anymore.
The CFLs are the coiled-looking bulbs?
That's them. You can get them in any local hardware or home center.
Now, I've always been told to turn off the lights whenever I leave the room, but with a fluorescent bulb, do I do the same thing?
I would not. I would always turn an incandescent light bulb off. However, if you're going to leave the room for 15 minutes or less, I would leave the compact fluorescent on. They use more electricity to start up when you first turn them on.
And what other kind of lighting changes should I consider?
Motion sensors, timers, and photo sensors are available. They're inexpensive and relatively easy to install. Again, they're also available at your local hardware and home centers. Indoor motion sensors detect motion inside the room. They turn the lights on when you enter the room and turn the lights off shortly after you leave the room. This is a great way to prevent lights from being left on when nobody's in the room. Timers are another great way to save energy. You can set the timer for whatever time you want the lights to go on and off. Photo sensors are a great way to control exterior lighting. They detect light levels and only turn the lights on when they detect darkness. Motion sensors can also be used for exterior lighting. Many exterior light fixtures come with both photo and motion sensors. This gives you great flexibility in any lighting situation.
Well, that's great lighting information. Let's move on now to large appliances. Are there things I can do to reduce my use of electricity and water when I use, say, my washer and dryer?
Sure. There's a lot of things you can do. Try washing your clothes during off-peak hours, usually 9 p.m. to 7 a.m. This helps reduce the strain on the entire electrical grid, and also the utility companies usually offer lower rates during off-peak hours.
Do you have some other tips for us?
Sure. Only wash full loads. Use cold water whenever possible. If you have very dirty clothes, use warm water, not hot. This will help keep your clothes from shrinking and fading also. And also use a front-loading machine if possible. Front-loaders are much more efficient than top-loading machines. They use far less water.
How about my dryer?
Well, if you can, try hanging your clothes as opposed to using the dryer. This will save a ton of electricity. When using your dryer, try not to over-dry. Over-drying just wastes a lot of electricity and can actually be very harmful to your clothes. Also, make sure you clean the lint filter after each use. The dryer just has to work harder if the lint filter is dirty.
I've heard that using a dishwasher can be even more energy efficient than washing my dishes by hand. Can that be true?
Actually, it is. Washing a full load in the dishwasher is much more efficient than washing individual dishes by hand. It uses far less water. Just scrape off the dishes, load them into the machine, and wash them. No rinsing needed. Also, if your washer has the energy saving feature, use it, or the no heat setting. That'll save a lot of electricity. If possible, let your dishes air dry. As we discussed with the washing machine, try using your dishwasher in off-peak hours, 9 p.m. to 7 a.m.
A lot of our listeners don't have a dishwasher, so is it still possible to use energy more efficiently when you wash dishes by hand?
If you don't have a dishwasher, try putting all your dishes and cutlery into the sink. Let them soak for about 10 minutes in warm water. Then scrub them with the faucet off, then rinse them with cold water. That'll save a lot of water.
How about my refrigerator and my freezer? I've been told they use more energy than anything, except maybe my AC.
That's actually very true. The Household Energy Report of 2005 says your fridge is the biggest energy consumer of all the appliances, excluding your air conditioner, of course. However, there are some things you can do to save energy. Always clean and vacuum the coils in the rear of the bottom of the refrigerator, and also clean the evaporator pan. If you're not sure where those are, have your super help you out with that. Try to keep your fridge away from any heating source like the stove or the oven, and move if possible, if your configuration of the kitchen allows you to do this. Also make sure the door seals around the refrigerator doors are nice and tight. Consider replacing the seals if you can. Limit the time the refrigerator door is open, and never put hot food in the refrigerator or freezer. Let it sit out on the countertop to cool off first before you put it in the fridge or freezer. If you have a second refrigerator or freezer that's barely being used, try emptying it, removing the door, and turning it off. This will just save a lot of electricity. If you do not have a frost-free refrigerator, you need to defrost the freezer at a regular basis. And the ideal temperature for the refrigerator is about 35 to 38 degrees Fahrenheit for fresh foods and 0 to 20 degrees in the freezer. However, the cooler the temperatures, the less efficient your refrigerator will be.
How about my air conditioner? My electricity bills are really high in the summer.
Well, there are a few things you can help to minimize your energy usage for your AC. First, try not using your AC unit. If possible, try use your ceiling fan or a freestanding fan. You may not even need your air conditioner. If possible, open shaded windows during the day and at night. This will create a natural cross ventilation. And again, you might not even need the air conditioner.
Well, let's say I do all these things, but I still need the AC sometimes.
Well, when you do need your air conditioner, try closing the curtains and blinds on the south-facing windows. You don't want direct sunlight from coming in. That's just going to heat up the space. And always use the right size air conditioner for the right size room. Bigger air conditioner is not always best and can actually be inefficient. Don't place lamps and other devices that generate heat near the air conditioner or in the room. Turn them off if possible. That's just creating extra heat that you really don't need anyway. Don't set your thermostat excessively low. The room is not going to get any cooler any faster that way. You're just going to waste electricity. And trying to use a fan in conjunction with the air conditioner, this will circulate cooled air evenly throughout the room.
Let's move on to some other parts of the house. Do you have some tips for us about my computer and TV and maybe home office machines?
Sure, I do. Consider turning off your monitor if you're not going to use the computer for more than 20 minutes, and turn off both the computer and the monitor if you're not going to use the computer for more than 2 hours. It's easy to use the power management or sleep feature on your computer. This will put your computer in the sleep mode and reduce energy consumption by about 70%. Also consider buying a multifunction device, such as a copier, scanner, printer, and fax, all built in one. This will save you energy as well as save you space. And also try and get an inkjet printer instead of a laser jet. They use a lot less electricity.
Does it really affect my electricity bill if I keep my cell phone charger plugged into the wall?
Actually, it does, very much so. Cell phone and other charging devices should always be unplugged while not in use. They still consume electricity even though the phone or other device is not connected to it. This is called vampire energy usage. And also, unplug any equipment if not being used for an extended period of time.
What about my TV? I'm thinking of getting a flat panel. Do you have any advice there?
Sure. If you're going to get a flat panel, look into an LCD TV. It uses about half as much electricity as a plasma TV. And obviously, smaller screens use less power than larger screens.
You're listening to New York City's Department of Housing Preservation and Development's podcast series.
Let's go back to water usage. As you probably know, New York City water rates have gone up over the past few years. In addition to the changes you suggested around our use of clothes and dishwashers, what are some other inexpensive steps we might want to take to reduce our use of water?
Well, the first thing I would do is make sure you fix any leaking or dripping faucets. If you're not sure how to do that, I'm sure your building super can help you. A dripping faucet can easily waste several gallons of water per day. Another step you can take is to install low-flow aerators and low-flow showerheads. Typically, showerheads have a flow rate of about 2.5 gallons of water per minute. However, the low-flow heads use significantly less water and are designed to give you the same quality shower. These aerators and showerheads are available at your local hardware store and home centers, and again, are very easy to install. And have your super help you out if you're not sure how to do it.
Before we move on to how to keep the heat in and the cold out of your homes and apartments in the winter, Let's remind everyone that when it's time to replace any large appliance, they should look for an Energy Star labeled appliance so they can be sure to get an energy efficient model. Now let's talk about winter. What about keeping the cold air from seeping in around my doors and windows?
Well, Pam, if you have old, drafty windows and doors, I would highly recommend changing them, if possible.
Well, I know they're really expensive to change out, and sometimes, if I'm living in an apartment, for example, I wouldn't be able to change them. That would be up to my landlord, so...
Absolutely. Cork around the windows between the window frame and the building exterior. If you live in an apartment building, you should definitely ask the super to help you out and do this for you. Another thing you can do is add foam rubber weather stripping to the top and bottom of the window sashes. That's the part of the window that goes up and down. And felt weather stripping to the sides of the window sashes. If you have single pane windows, definitely consider installing storm windows on the exterior of the windows. This will keep out a lot of drafts. If you don't have that option, what you can do is provide the plastic insulating film and tape on the interior of the windows. This again is available at your local hardware and home centers. These kits are inexpensive, and all you need is a utility knife and a hairdryer to cover these windows. On sunny days, try and let the rays shine in through the south-facing windows. But if there is no sun, try using insulating drapes, which are tightly woven, reflective, and have several layers. This will keep out any drafts that may be coming in. And also provide weather stripping around the exterior doors and a door sweep at the bottom of the door. This will keep out a lot of drafts. If you don't have that option, what you can do is roll up a towel and put it at the bottom of the door. That'll also keep out a lot of drafts out.
One thing we haven't talked about is a thermostat. What is the best way to use it to save money?
Well, the first thing I would do is definitely go out and get a programmable thermostat if you don't already have one. This allows you to regulate the interior temperatures in the winter and summer. In the winter, you can lower the temperature down to 65 degrees at night or when you're not home, and 69 degrees for when you are home. I don't recommend passing 5-degree temperature difference because the walls and the furniture all get cold and take much more energy to reheat back up to the 69 degrees. In the summer, I would definitely keep the thermostat around 78 to 80 degrees if you have a central AC system. For every degree that you turn the thermostat down in the winter, you save an average of 1 to 3% on your energy bill. And just like the air conditioner, don't set the thermostat too high because the house is not going to get any warmer any faster. And also, consider buying yourself a humidifier. Humidity in the room will keep you much more comfortable at lower temperatures.
Thank you for all that information, Tom.
You're welcome, Pam. Thank you, listeners. We hope this helped you out.
Tom and I hope you have gotten some useful tips to help you get started on reducing your energy use and on saving money. You should know that New York State has a website, getenergysmart.org, that has lots more tips on energy savings around your home, as well as information on current rebates or tax incentives that might be useful to you. We invite you to check out HPD's other podcasts, which include improving the health of your home environment by addressing issues such as mold, lead, carbon monoxide, and pests, and our podcast on resolving housing code violations.
You've been listening to New York City's Department of Housing Preservation and Development podcast series.